Imagine building like this massive bridge from opposite shores of a river. The university is building from the left, the workforce builds from the right. But when they meet in the middle, the roads are off by, say, 50 feet.
Right, it's a total disaster.
Yeah, exactly. So today we are doing a deep dive into South Africa's National Skills Development Strategy 3, or NSDS 3. We're basically looking at how a nation tries to engineer a structural adapter to fix this massively broken education-to-workforce pipeline.
And what makes that misaligned bridge so disastrous in this context is this deeply entrenched silo mentality. You know, it prevents partnerships between universities and businesses.
Wow, so they're just completely disconnected.
Completely. So you end up with the single largest category of unemployed people being under the age of 35. But at the exact same time, you have these vital economic sectors that are totally starved for technical skills.
I mean, the economy is obviously shifting toward knowledge-based industries, but because the training pipeline is fundamentally broken, companies are just resorting to retrenchments, like laying people off instead of retraining them.
Yeah, and the sources point out a glaring lack of credible institutional data here.
Right. There hasn't been a reliable framework to map out what skills are actually in supply against what the industry truly demands.
Exactly. So because there was no organic connection or data to fix this, the government basically had to financially force the issue. They introduced these things called pivotal programs.
Pivotal, right. That stands for professional, vocational, technical, and academic learning, I believe.
You got it. And
Yes.
it explicitly mandates combining academic coursework with supervised workplace learning.
Okay, I hear supervised workplace learning, but my immediate thought is that companies do not want to babysit students.
Oh, absolutely not.
Right. So how is the government actually making businesses comply with this without it just being another ignored bureaucratic acronym?
Well, they're using the tax code as leverage. The policy legally reserves 10% of a company's mandatory skills development levy grants exclusively for these workplace-based programs.
Oh, wow. So if a business wants that grant money back, they have no choice but to participate.
Exactly. It forces their hand. And on top of that financial incentive, the strategy actually sets a hard numerical target. They want to qualify 10,000 artisans per year.
Wait, 10,000 a year? But anytime a system mandates a massive quota like that, the obvious risk is just churning out graduates who aren't actually competent.
Right, just to hit the number.
Yeah, it completely becomes quantity over quality.
And they anticipated that. So to prevent a collapse in quality, they established the National Artisan Moderating Body, or NAMB. It acts as this strict enforcer of a single national testing standard.
So they're building a legislative transmission system that gears the academic output to safely match the speed and quality of industry demand.
That's a great way to put it. But, you know, building a technically flawless training pipeline totally fails if it ignores the stark societal realities on the ground.
Yeah, and the strategy is really upfront about that. It rests on seven strict transformational imperatives. We're talking race, class, gender, geography, age, disability, and HIV/AIDS.
Right, and it doesn't just list them as buzzwords. It dictates how the training itself must change. Take geography, for instance.
Oh, yeah, the text explicitly distinguishes between just training rural people, which often results in them immediately migrating to cities.
Exactly. Versus training rural people for rural development.
Right. The policy requires skills initiatives to be tied directly to local cooperatives and infrastructure projects. So the newly trained workforce actually stays and develops their home regions.
And that same pragmatic urgency dictates how the strategy handles the HIV/AIDS pandemic. The policy explicitly mandates that skills initiatives have to incorporate the management of HIV and AIDS in the workplace.
Yeah, it's very blunt. It specifically states the need to ensure they are training youth for active workplace participation, and not, as the text starkly puts it, for the grave.
Which is heavy. But it highlights a fundamental reality for any organization or society. I mean, economic policy cannot be separated from human vulnerabilities.
You have to align theoretical training with complex, on-the-ground human and economic realities, which is why you should really care about this.
Definitely. This deep dive into South Africa's strategy isn't just about one country's policy.
No, it really serves as a masterclass in trying to force alignment between what schools teach and what reality actually demands.
Using that financial leverage and those strict standards? And I think it leads you with a critical question to mull over.
Oh, definitely.
If our modern educational institutions only measure success by graduation rates, rather than a student's lifelong adaptability in a constantly changing workforce, Are we optimizing for the completely wrong metric?
Yeah, if we only celebrate finishing the bridge on our side of the river, but never check to see if the road actually connects to the other side, we haven't built a way forward at all.